If you want to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I know we've been in a series for about 2 months now, where we've been addressing the minor prophets and the warnings that they gave us and how we can overcome those warnings. But over the last 2 weeks, the events have just been weighing on my heart. I've talked to about six people who are just really embattled deep down in their hearts with various things, various issues, but the facts of it is we're just out there and we're in this battle zone and we're asked by the minor prophets to overcome these things that are affecting us and these habits that we find ourselves falling into. But on the backside of it, unless we prepare our hearts to overcome them, unless we get our minds in the right concepts, we can't do so. And so the next 2 weeks we'll be having a message on the peace of God and the love of God. We've heard that an awful lot about how we're to take the love of God into the world, or how we're to be the symbols of the love of God, and how we're to have upon us the peace of God. And we're going to unpack that a little bit. That's the final two in the series. But today I'm going to take a break, and we're going to be in Ephesians 6, starting in verses 10. And going on, because the fact of it is unless we wear the full armor of God, unless we place it upon our hearts, unless we understand who the enemy is and how the enemy operates, we can't do what we're called to do and overcome inside of it. I know many of you follow Facebook, and you've seen that this week was a really hard week, and Tara Woodruff, who is a member of our church and has been struggling for several months and probably several years with just a darkness that surrounded her. I'm going to toss some names out there because we need to pray, and we need to pray real for these people. Greg Kluge, Deb, I know you've been praying for him. I know a lot of people have been praying for him, but he's in a place where he just needs God, and he needs to submit and come into it and be healed from the pains and the suffering. We have Dee and Sheila Bates, who are in the hospital right now, pending surgeries and pending healing, and in a dark place just because they're feeling down, they're feeling broken right now. I've met two young people this last 2 weeks that are so embattled by anxiety that they can't even come before God because the anxiety of having to call themselves before God is just too much from their lives. I've been dealing with people for the last 2 weeks on and off again that I've just met in the community who depression and anxiety are so strong that even waking up and moving out of a bed in the morning is just too much for them. And we can sit there and say all we want about how all that'll never impact us, but unless we do what we're going to learn the lesson about today, we are just as susceptible to the enemy's attacks as they have been. We can find ourselves in the same place. We can choose to live a life that puts us outside of God's will and outside of his protection, simply by falling aside and just being too scared or too shameful or too full of guilt or just too concerned about what might be said about it in the process. So please stand with me as we read Ephesians 6, starting in chapter 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you help us put on the whole of the armor of God, that we understand who the enemy is and how the enemy works, not just in our lives, but against our community, against your body, against this world, to push away its lies and draw strength, to put your shield of faith before us, that you are what takes on Satan, not us, and that we may boldly proclaim, be your ambassadors and carry your word, your truth, your love, your peace into the darkest of places. For you call us into an active faith, not a faith that's put on a shelf, not a faith that's put aside, but an active faith that works and walks every day with us. So let us gird ourselves fully in your armor and prepare ourselves for the battle that you call us into. We pray this in your holy name, amen. Please be seated. I can say that I had heard the armor of God many times. In fact, we just had it last September when Chief of Police Ken Manthe came in to speak for the Gideons. He pulls out all the police stuff, and I've seen it, and I've even had pastors call me into my full military gear to equate how we prepare ourselves for battle and how we gird ourselves in the armor of battle, our helmets, our Kevlar helmets, our vests, our weapons, our belts, our duty equipment, all that neat fun stuff that you see and that little boys are drawn towards and all that neat fun stuff that we call cool guy gear in the military. But the true lesson of the sermon in those points is not to understand that aspect of how we as humans prepare ourselves for the physical battle, but to understand how we enter into the spiritual battle, the one where Satan truly attacks us at. Because if he can change us inside, if he can change our heart, if he can darken our heart, then he wins the battle and he takes us away from Christ. I didn't understand it until I became a police officer and I was out on the, what they call the beat, right? Working my patrol shifts and going out there. And when I started reading this and starting to understand that when I came up against people, it wasn't them that I was battling. It was the demons that sat within inside of them. It was the things that Satan had held onto their heart that had caused them to become so ugly in their lives that they were willing to harm the person they loved most. Or even maybe harm themselves. See, because when Satan grabs a hold of our heart, he changes who we are inside. He changes us spiritually. And the more and more we give him access to, the more and more that he sits and dwells inside of us, the more and more he helps push out the Holy Spirit from us. And then we don't have God's peace inside of us. We can't carry his love in our presence. So Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, who understands that they're being onslaughted by tons and tons of different religions. There are temples up and down and throughout Ephesus that they have to walk past every day. People, their neighbors, calling them into, you need to worship this God because this God brings you fertility. This God brings you happiness. This God brings you money. You need to worship these gods. That's why you don't have these things. And they're being drawn away because they're not founded in faith. They're not sitting there going, yes, I truly believe that God is who God is. And they're allowing Satan to step in and draw them away from him. So he puts out the warning, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You notice nowhere there in there does he say, be strong of your own will, be strong of your own nature, be strong of your own character. No, he says, surrender to God and be strong in God. Fall before the Lord and find strength behind him. Let him lead this battle. Put on the whole armor of God. Doesn't say put on the whole armor from God. He says put on the whole armor of God. Whatever we bring to the fight is insufficient when we are talking about a spiritual battle. We cannot fight Satan on even ground. We are not capable. But when we come before him and we put on God fully and completely, then and only then can we stand against that dark force. Only then can we stand against his temptation, his lies. So we need to prepare ourselves that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that when we put on God's full armor, when we put God on our heart, when we put him on our mind, inside our soul, then we can stand face to face because it's the armor that protects us. It's God who protects us from what Satan is doing to us. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This, for a long time, has been my life verse. People like always ask me, like, well, that's a really weird one, Pastor. You know, maybe like, you know, John 3:16 or some of the others. But that are commonly found, or even inside my family. 2 Timothy 1:7 is a powerful one for us. But the fact of it is this is my reminder every day who I'm up against. I've shared this with you before, that when we look at the person, not to look at the person as our enemy, but to look at what Satan is doing in that person, to actually look at the conflict that is happening inside of them, and to understand that that's our enemy, not the flesh and blood that's across us. And here, Paul's reminding us that it's not the flesh and blood, it's what Satan is doing to the flesh and blood, or changing in the flesh and blood that we are against. But we need to look past that. We need to look past into that spiritual side. We need to not see the person that stands before us, but what is happening inside, the battle that is waging and being fought inside of them on the spiritual plane. For our battle is against the principalities, against darkness, against power of darkness, the wickedness in the heavenly places. See, Satan is real. There's no arguments about it. We feel it inside of us all the time, that moral conflict that we run across. Do I do what I want to do, or do I do what I know is right? We all teach our children that, like, that lesson, right? That when you come into life, you do what is right in the situation, whether it's the easy way or not, whether someone is watching or not. I know they pound that into us in the military and in the police really strongly, is that you always do what is right no matter how hard it is and no matter who's watching. Whether you feel you're going to get caught or you could cut a corner because you might get away with it or not, you do what is right. Because that's the spiritual side of us. That is our character. That is our moral, internal founding that we have that sits upon us in that moment. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's the victory that God is calling us towards, is to simply be able to stand for who we are and what God has made us at the end of the day. That all the impact that the world and that Satan pushes against us does not knock us down and doesn't change who we are, that we stand. That we stand as God has made us before God and before Satan. That's the victory. The victory isn't a pile of money. It's not a heartfelt, hey, hoorah. It's not any of those things. It's simply to be standing as who we were at the beginning of the day, as God had made us at the end of the day. But see, we want the other side of it. We want all the victory to be pride and money and things piled upon us, whether it's people congratulating us or not. That's the victory that we want. But that's Satan telling us that you need that. That's really what this is about. But it's not true. God says the victory through Paul is, or through Paul, God says the victory is that, hey, it's simply to be standing as you were, as I had made you that morning, to not have regressed any, not to have fallen away from who God has created you to be that day. To simply be standing at the end of the battle. I can tell you from personal experience that that is a true victory. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, to be standing at the end of the day and still have enough strength to carry on is a victory. But all too often we want to turn our heads away from it and then blame God for not making us victorious in the day. And stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. There's that word truth again. We've heard it a ton within the minor prophets, right? To live a life of truth, to teach the truth, to put ourselves in truth. And here he's saying, gird yourselves with it. To gird meant to pull up all your cloth and wrap it around so you can move across the battlefield quickly and easily, not being hindered by anything around your legs. And so you bring it up and you belt it around yourselves. Truth is a powerful, powerful tool because it gives you an absolute. In today's world, that's not so true. Because what each one of us wants to be true, we can make it to be true and according to today's world. If I think this is reality, or if this is my perception of reality, then that's what it is. But the fact is truth is truth. Whether we perceive it correctly or not, the truth is still there. That's like saying, well, God only exists if you want him to exist. But I don't believe in God, so therefore he's not. Either God is or he isn't. There isn't an ability to allow me to accept him and then you not to believe that he exists. That's not how this thing works. It's not how logic works. But yet we do it all the time. The truth needs to be in our lives. If we aren't willing to accept it, if we're not willing to understand that there is an absolute truth out there, then we fall away. Then we start letting Satan tell us that, well, maybe the truth is this and you should follow that instead. So we need to gird ourselves in the truth. We need to be in Scripture every day, understand who God is and how God has declared himself so that we can understand him, so we can put the whole armor of God, so that we can put God before us. If we fail to do that, then we're thrown to and fro as we read last week. He continues on, he says, to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is Jesus Christ. It's not our self-righteousness that he's talking about there. But to gird ourselves, to protect our heart with Jesus Christ, to allow him to be there, to let the Holy Spirit dwell in our heart, to protect our heart from what Satan may reach in and try to change inside of it by allowing the Holy Spirit to sit fully upon ourselves. Funny thing is you need to do the first thing. You need to put on that truth before the Holy Spirit will sit upon you, because if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, if you can't accept Jesus Christ, then you won't be gifted with the Holy Spirit. So we have to be grounded and protected by the truth before the Holy Spirit comes upon us, before we can put on that breastplate. Funny thing is it's the same way it works in putting on armor. If you don't put the belt on first, when you put this on, you won't be able to put this on. So if we put on righteousness, but we aren't founded in truth, then we'll put on our own righteousness, our self-righteousness, that which we feel we're good at or that we're prideful that we're about. So there's a reason that Paul is going in this order, that if we don't put the truth on first and the righteous, the breastplate will be faulty. It won't work. It won't be made of a strong material to actually protect us from what's coming. And having shod your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm not sure I like that word shod. It's the same thing that we use in shodding a horse with horseshoes, right? So, but to put on the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. So in other words, raising ourselves up through the truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And why does he put it on our feet? Because we're meant to take it places. We're meant to take it into battle. We're meant to carry it with us as we go. Even in the olden days, they weren't armored on their feet, but it allowed them to move easier across harsh ground. See, we're kind of spoiled nowadays. We all wear shoes all day. When I was in Iraq, we'd watch people walk around with no shoes on, and they'd walk across gravel paths. They would run and play soccer in gravel fields. I can't even walk across, like, our back patio that's got that little grainy stuff on it without going, ouch, ouch, ouch. But when we put the gospel on our feet, we can go across those dangerous territories. We can carry ourselves into battle without going, ouch, ouch, ouch. Because we know we're bringing God's peace with us. We know that we're moving into a place that God is calling us and taking a message of truth that will be heard and victorious versus our own message that's broke. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What's interesting is up to this point, everything is being fixed on a body part, right? So we have girding ourselves with the belt of truth. We have breastplate of righteousness. We have the shoes of the gospel of peace. They're all fixated on a certain part of our body to protect ourselves. But you know what's great about a shield? Anybody? What? You can hide behind it, but what else? You can protect others with it. The concept of a phalanx, the formation of the legion of the Romans is where this comes from. That's exactly where he's drawn this language from, is how they would clothe the Roman soldiers and how they would fight. The shields were 4 to 5 feet tall. The average height of a standard Roman soldier was about 5'10". That was a large soldier down to 5'4". Somewhere in there is going to be about the size of a standard legionnaire from Rome. Not the outlying legions, but the Roman legionnaire. They were kind of sized. Their shield was 5 foot. It acted as two things. As protection and as a litter to carry you off the battlefield should you be injured. That's why they were so big. But the other thing was, and we've seen it in the movies nowadays, is the shield was so big that they could actually drop it and form a wall, which protected everybody from that point back. See, the shield of faith isn't just for us. We can hide behind it, we can protect ourselves from it, but we can also use faith through prayer, through loving kindness, compassion, outreach, to protect others. See, the shield wasn't just for the personal soldier. In fact, not every soldier carried a shield. If you carried the shield, you were in the front of the battle. But here God is telling us that you are at the front of the battle, and he's preparing us for it. He's giving us the shield of faith in him. To know that when we step back and we sit there and say, well, maybe God isn't as good as we think he is, we just took away part of our shield because our faith has diminished. Or maybe God doesn't love me, he doesn't care for me. What I've done is too much for what Jesus did on the cross. These are all things that start hacking away at our shield, that start breaking us down and allowing the enemy to get in past our protection. It can continue on. It can continue on into the body, right? People draw doubts of God because of what humans do all the time. People aren't good enough, or they aren't truly what they say they are, or they act differently here than they are there. But the fact of it is our faith isn't called in other people. It's called into God. And so when people fail us, we shouldn't be surprised. Heck, we've all failed in our own lives. Why should we expect perfection from anyone else in life? But yet, we always do. We sit there and say, well, they have to be perfect because they call themselves this. But the problem is God is the only perfect. He's the only absolute. And the second we forget that, we start breaking our shield of faith down. We can't hide behind it anymore, because now we're allowing the enemy past it. Because now we're changing our heart. We're not putting on a truth that is absolute. We're allowing it to be subjective to what we feel is true in the situation. I love how he puts it, and able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. This lets you know that sometimes Satan isn't attacking you with a sword or by fist right up in your face. Sometimes they're coming from long distances. Standard archer's range was about 400 meters. For anybody that wants to know what that is, it's four football fields piled up on each other. That was the standard distance that an archer would start engaging, as far out as maybe 800 meters. They didn't have technology back then to send stuff miles and miles like we do nowadays. But that means that your enemy is far away, and there's little that you can do. That's why the shield of faith became so important, because you can't attack someone from 400 meters away. You notice nowhere in there does he say, pick up your bow of the Spirit. He understands that we're not capable of fighting in the spiritual realm. We can't address that enemy face to face. We can't take on Satan directly. We have to fall and ask God to be our leader for it. We have to ask our commander to call in the archers for us to attack. But he gives us a way to protect ourselves from Satan with the shield of faith. Put God upon your heart. Have faith that God is true, that he is who he has declared himself to be, that he is no different than the words that he has spoken to us through Scripture. And let that be the faith that you sit on. See, when we do that, then we can take out the fiery arrows, the ones that are meant to cause, because what happens if they land inside the group? See, it wasn't just an arrow that was lit on fire. It was an arrow that was drenched in oil. And so when it would land upon something, it would splatter and the fire would spread. Or they would aim it into powder kegs and things of those natures that might cause an explosion. See, what Satan does to us doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody around us. So his arrows are much more effective than we ever imagined. It's a lot more effective than what we perceive in our minds, because it's not attacked just against us, but if he can break us down, then he makes everybody else around us more open. How does this look in today's world? Simply this: if you have a Christian who falls to sin, who pursues sin, look at everything that it affects around them. Look at an evangelist that's on TV that falls to sin and is found to be like financially trapped, or any of these other things that go on, or inside the Catholic Church where they have priests that are having issues with children. Suddenly, it's not just that person that is broken, but it's the entire church that is broken. And it expands up and out, because what happens is the Satan knows that if we can just spread the word. Isn't that what he did in the garden? We just spread the word. Oh, surely you won't die. It'll be okay. And it went from Eve to Adam, and now it's spread throughout us all. If you can just spread the word. So now, well, we've got a Baptist preacher over here who's stealing money, and we have a Catholic priest over here doing things they shouldn't be doing with children, and we have this priest over here, or this pastor over here who's doing something they shouldn't do, and guess what? We've got the media, and it spreads like wildfire at every place. Every Christian is affected. The body of Christ is affected. See, that's the effect of a fiery arrow, and if we don't have faith inside of it, when it hits upon our shield and it splatters, if not everybody's shield is up, it penetrates and it actually gets into the body. A phalanx was 100 troops called a sentry also. Phalanx was the way they moved or how they were shaped. 100 troops. Only the ones on the outside carried shields. And only the ones to the front, because the Romans never retreated. They always had the mindset to move straight in. Interesting fact, if you ever look at an American soldier's uniform, the flags, always the blue to the front, because that would be where the blue would be on the post, and the post is always moving forward, so that flag's always flowing backwards from it. If you ever see a flag that's not doing that, you know there's duress inside of it. Same thing with these. If you ever saw shields to the front or to the back of the thing, you knew there was something wrong. But see, if we don't put our shields up, if we don't hold strong, if we don't stand fast, if we aren't standing at the end of the day, that means that he's made it in. The enemy has breached our perimeter. An arrow has had an effect greater than just on yourself, because it's now affecting everybody who's associated with you. We've seen that time and time again. That when Satan gets in and he affects one person, it starts making other people doubt or making other people not trust God so much. But the thing is it's your shield to carry, and you need to make sure it's ready to protect yourself and to protect your friends, to protect the body. And take on the helmet of salvation. See, when we know that we have salvation upon us, we can deal with a lot of things, because that's our hope. That's the prize at the end of it, right? It's our hope that God is moving us to a better place, that no matter how bad this world gets, he's moving us forward in the way and allows us to have a mind to deal with what's going on here in this dark, broken world. And so when we put on the helmet of salvation, where does it cover our brains? We need to think. We need to be actively, consciously thinking about salvation is the goal. That is the prize. That is the blessing that we are given through Jesus Christ. And that no matter how bad the battle is, at the end of the day, the Lord will raise us up and bring us into a great and glorious place, into his presence, into his safety, into his peace. But if we don't have faith, if we don't have the truth, if we don't have any of these other things laid out, we'll never be able to hold on to this, because it'll never be true. Because what the mind thinks is human, but what God does to our heart is lifelong. It's spiritual. So we have to make sure that we put on this helmet to protect our thoughts and remind ourselves of the salvation that is coming, so that we can deal with the battle that we're in today. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, sometimes gets misinterpreted that we can swing it like a true sword, like it's meant to kill the opposition. But the problem is all too often we forget that the opposition isn't the flesh and blood that's in front of us. And so we wield the sword, the word of God, to bring death to the person instead of the darkness that's inside the person. So it goes back to remembering, where are we waging war against? It's not the flesh and blood. It's not the human that stands in front of us. It's what Satan is doing inside of that person. And we need to carry that sword against Satan. And there's a reason why it says it's the word of God, that the truth that we bring through the word of God, the love that we bring through the word of God, the hope that is brought through the word of God, that is the sword that can impact and pierce Satan and drive him out and kill him in the situation. We know that Jesus in the end will defeat Satan in a physical way. So we know that the word of God can defeat him in a spiritual way now. So remember who the battle's against, and don't wage that sword against the person, but against Satan. The word of God comes in peace. It comes with hope. It comes in grace and mercy just as we received it. We need to handle it in the same fashion when we deliver it to someone else. Because otherwise, all we're doing is swinging a sword at a person and killing the flesh and blood and letting Satan win the day. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So in other words, our job to pray, to come before in the Holy Spirit and ask for God to do the work that we know we can't do is what we need to spend our time and effort. In fact, we're going to actually close today in group prayer. Because we cannot attack Satan. He is a spiritual being. We're rooted here in the flesh right now. Our spirituality is being made full and will come to completion in the presence of God when we return to His throne, when we come into His presence. But our prayer is heard. Our prayer can impact. Our prayer can change things. He ends with this beautiful concept, and for me the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. At this time he's sitting in prison, and that's why he's writing letters, is because he can't travel to them. That in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That last sentence, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, it doesn't mean that you just speak boldly. It means that you speak boldly in the truth that God has given behind the righteousness of Jesus Christ with the word of God. That's how we ought to speak. That's not our truth, our righteousness, our wisdom that we're bringing to it, but it's God's wisdom, His truth, His word that we bring to the situation. And we're called to do it in a certain way with love. Through that gospel of peace. See, when we start understanding that Paul is speaking more about a battle that is fought on a spiritual plane, then we understand why we put on the full armor of God. It's not our armor, it's God's armor. And it's perfect and it's complete. And it has the impact and the ability to wage war in a spiritual realm that we can't step foot into, but that can certainly impact us. And so while we can do all the coolest little neat demonstrations with all the cool guy gear in the world, until we internally start understanding that this wasn't ever meant to be an external display, but to be placed upon ourselves, that we revisit it every day, that every morning we stand up and we gird ourselves in the armor, the whole armor of God, so that we may be found standing at the end of the day, at the end of the battle that was brought before us that day. We can't do any of the things. We can't overcome any of the things that we've been talking about for the last 8 weeks. Sorry, 10 weeks now. We can't accomplish anything that the prophets were warning the Israelites about, and what we've talked about, how we don't fall into those same traps unless we protect ourselves from Satan, because otherwise we find ourselves standing right before Satan wide open with nothing to protect us, no matter how far away he is, whether he's in our face or 400 meters away. We are defenseless. And so, gird yourselves. Put on the full armor of God. Accept Him fully and completely upon you. Stop trying to handle things yourself. Be still, right? We say that all the time. Be still and let God and know that I am God. The fact is be still and know that He's upon you. That in that presence, in that completion of who He has made you and who He is bringing you towards, there is success and there is strength and there is the ability to be standing at the end of the day. And then go and boldly proclaim that same truth to those who are in need of it. Be ready to surrender your shield just to hear or to link up with other people so that they can hide behind us. We don't ever want to hand off our shield, because once we hand off our shield, we're open again. But our shield wasn't not meant to protect just us. It's to come along other people and help protect them from where Satan is attacking them. Same thing with the shoes of the gospel of peace. They're put on our feet so that we can carry it into battle, that we can go into where it's at. not to sit back and wait for it to attack us or use it only in our place, but to boldly walk into battle, knowing that God has prepared us for it. Not to have fear, but to trust that God's whole armor will truly protect us. Because we are these ambassadors, whether we're in chains or not. We are ambassadors. We're to carry the word of God. We're to represent who he is. And so as we go into this week, as we go through the challenges, as we come into prayer this in a few minutes, put on the whole armor of God. Be prepared to be that there, or be there for people who are in need of it. I can tell you the need is great, and when people find out that you're willing to help them in those situations, when you're willing to stand before Satan with God in between you and Satan, be that shield for them because they don't have the strength to do it, their hearts will start to change. They will start feeling stronger. They will start growing. But if we never do it, if we don't put ourselves in that place, if we don't do what God has called us to do, to be that foot soldier, to be the person who puts ourselves in danger, in physical danger. Because if we put on the whole armor of God, we are never in danger spiritually, because we will be strong with faith. We'll have Jesus' righteousness, and we'll have the salvation, the helmet of salvation firmly implanted. There's nothing Satan can do to us that should scare us. We should just be ready to walk in and take on the enemy. But you know what else the Roman legionaries did? Was they protected against the hordes, against the ugliness that was upon the Roman people. And politics aside, whether you agreed with what the Romans were doing or not, they protected communities, they protected villages, they protected people from being slaughtered by an enemy who had anger and violence in mind. And they stood with it, knowing that they had been brought up, armored in a way that would protect them and make them victorious if they held true to the truths that were taught to them in battle. It's no different than any of it here. If we hold true to the truths that we have been taught, we put Jesus before us and let him lead us and protect our heart, let the Holy Spirit dwell upon us, put salvation in our mind, remembering what we are called to, and remember that we are ambassadors, that we speak his truth, his peace, his love. There's nothing that can defeat us. Yeah, we may get nicks, we may get some scars and bruises, but scars are cool. Chicks dig them. But at the end of the day, here's the fact. We will be standing. And we will be standing stronger than at the beginning of the day, because we will have the experiences that we had come through and the victory that had been won that day to follow us into the next day and the next day and the next day. So put on the whole armor of God and wear it every morning. And give it back to God at the end of the night and let him shine it up and get it all ready for you the next day. Because remember, it is his armor, not yours. Amen.